Yeah, I will say that you were pretty high on that card, but I was a naysayer, although I think I was just being contrarian to piss you off.
Well, I'm going to be contrarian and keep supporting our boy Perforus.
All right.
By the way, since we started recording, welcome everyone to the Quiet Speculation Cast for the day of January 20th, 2020. I'm your co-host, Sam Lowe, with Crowberry here.
Yo.
And we're going to talk about a lot today because we didn't really cover that much last time. We were mostly just talking about Theros spoilers. We're going to go over there. What we were right about, what we might have missed. It's obviously a little bit too early to really draw any strong conclusions about, you know, any real cards from Theros because no tournament results have come in yet, but we're beginning to see a bit more from social media, from people playing online. Definitely are going to be able to make more informed decisions than we were making during the spoiler season. Additionally, we need to talk about Modern. Modern is, the season for Modern is kind of over now, so it's more going to be about Pioneer and Standard coming up the next little bit, but Modern has definitely been shaken up a whole lot by bannings recently, and the new set is also likely to bring some new spikes into a few decks in Modern. Legacy is also getting turned on its head by Underworld Breach, but I think we all saw that coming. And obviously Legacy, not super financially relevant, but we might touch on that for a minute.
Yep, I'll be Googling the prices on Lion's Eye Diamond right now.
If there's a Legacy tournament, that card is just going to spike. I mean, have you been seeing some of those Underworld Breach lists in Legacy? Just because, let's chat about it now real quick, because we probably won't have an actual segment for this.
Yeah, exactly. I like the list that I've been seeing are the Jeskai ones. They have the Lion's Eye Diamond for Underworld Breach. And I think I'm most excited about building one of those.
Yeah, those are really sick. Obviously, there's like the more combo-y versions that don't play so much interaction, and those are probably not as good. Mm-hmm. But the deck is extremely real. I think like people didn't quite realize just how much better this card is than Yogg-Will in some situations right now. Like, I mean, you literally just play the card and you play Lions of Diamond, and then any card with Storm, and then you probably just win the game because you get to crack your Lions of Diamond a bunch.
Yeah, I think it's entirely too easy to just add those three cards to the zero cost on a lot of stuff that you'll be playing in these decks.
Yep, for sure. I want to go ahead and start talking about some of our actual segments.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love talking about Legacy. It is my favorite format, but I think first off, we're going into sort of our initial impressions on what we had for Theros, like our picks and stuff like that.
Yeah, so Theros, let's see. I was, at least for now, definitely wrong about Perforus. He's not really making... No one's, like, really playing any sort of, like, big red deck at the moment. I definitely think something like that could materialize, and obviously, like, big red is the best deck in Pioneer right now, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of a mid-range pile on those, but...
Sure, yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping, like, for the deck in Standard as well. Would be like somewhat of a mid-range pile, especially since you have the like exquisite Wrath that got printed in this set.
Yeah, exactly.
But the deck has not materialized yet. At this point, I think, you know, Perforus is sitting around like $7 or $8 right now. I think it's a pretty good price point for him. Definitely still reasonable to buy in if you're a believer. But I'm not like really expecting his price to go crazy unless you do think that deck is going to come, which I definitely don't know enough about Standard to say for sure. I just felt like there was enough powerful pieces there to make something happen.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, a lot of people are holding out for that sneak and show kind of deck, or I guess it's just mono red's sneak attack for the comparison. But if that materializes, it's going to go nuts. It'll be at least a $20 card, if not more.
For sure. A lot of the other stuff in this format or in this set currently is interesting. We didn't really get to talk much about like Ashiok Nightmare Muse or Dryad of the Ilzean Grove. Those are two of the highest gainers currently. Dryad, most of the gains are coming. It's at around like $11 right now, which is pretty high for this card. I don't know if it's really seeing any play in Standard, but I know people like have a lot to do with this card in Modern with various like Prismatic Omen type decks, Valakut, that sort of thing. It's definitely really good in those decks, and also because they didn't lose Guild of the Dead somehow from the banning, because that card's like probably too good for Modern. Duel of the Dead strategies are going to be the best thing to do in Modern for the foreseeable future. So definitely understandable why a bunch of people are rushing to pick this card up right now for tournaments that are coming up. But I don't know if it's going to be able to maintain that $11 price tag unless it's actually seeing play in Standard.
Yeah, and that is a reasonable assessment, I think. A lot of people, and I've just from what I see on Twitter, a lot of people are buzzing about it for, like you said, the land style decks, anything that has Primeval Titan. And then, yeah, Field of the Dead obviously is going to be good with that. I think it's, I don't know, if that can prove its worth in that deck alone, it'll probably maintain like probably a $5 price tag if I had to guess. But if it breaks out in Standard, it'll be insane.
I absolutely agree. I think $5 to $6 is a very reasonable price for a card that's like seeing play in the top tiers of Modern, but not really that much elsewhere currently. This price tag it's currently at is, it can't really go much higher than that, even if it's seeing a bunch of play in Standard, I don't think, especially based on like how many other good cards there are in this set. Although a lot of them are pretty cheap, like right now it's definitely, I think, the most expensive or one of the most expensive rares in the set.
Yeah, just looking at a couple of price sheets here, it is the most expensive rare on average right now. Second is a Nyx Lotus, surprisingly.
Yeah, I can't imagine that lasting, but I mean, people are loving that card. I keep seeing tweets about how. Yeah, I was just going to say, I keep seeing tweets about how much mana people are making with that card, but not seeing a lot of tweets of them like actually doing cool stuff with that mana. It's mostly just like, oh, look, I made 120 mana and then I passed a turn.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few X spells. One that I can think of off the top of my head is the Flample, the blue green one. Why is the name escaping me right now? I played this card all day yesterday on Arena.
Hydroid Crisis was the card I was thinking of here, but for the life of me, I could not think of it at the time.
But anyway, yeah, making a lot of mana with Nyx Lotus is kind of the draw to the card, obviously. I didn't expect it to be that much higher on the price sheet initially. I knew people would want this card. I think I spoke about it a little bit on our last cast, but I'm pleasantly surprised.
I'm surprised how much Ashiok is going up right now. I think, like, part of that is a lot of the times at pre-release, people like see a card perform really well and limited, and they think that it's got the chops, so like Crush Constructed as well. And I think Ashiok Nightmare Muse and Kiora Best of Sea God are both kind of examples of that, where like these cards are just basically unbeatable and limited and definitely have the potential to see play in Standard, but the price is kind of jumping ahead of that potential. So I'm not very bullish on those right now. Kiora Best of Sea God is only like $4, so I guess, like, you know, what do you really have to lose aside from like $2 a copy or something? But Ashiok, I think it really depends on the way the meta shakes up, if this card is going to be a $20 card as it is now, or if it's going to be like a $7 card in less than a month from now. And I'm not willing to gamble with that kind of money. I'm willing to buy Perforo for $7, maybe. I mean, I'm not even necessarily saying I'm buying that card, just. If you're a believer, Perforos is $7, pretty reasonable, but $20 for an Ashiok, I don't know for sure. What do you think about Ashiok?
I mean, I don't think it's a bad card, and of course you have to draw back the comparison to the Standard of original Theros, where you had a Night Vale Spectre, and then the original Ashiok, of course. When you had cards like that, along with the control suite that was available, I think those cards were very strong in their day, and I could see these doing a good impression of that. I don't know about this $20 price tag that I'm seeing right now, or $19.50. But there's a strong case if there's a sort of blue-black mid-rangey style deck, if that breaks out, then this card's definitely going to be in it.
Yeah, for sure. It's really interesting, actually. The Mythic price spread in this set is pretty like wonky right now, in my opinion. Like, Nyx Born Ancient is like $16 right now, which I definitely think that this card is going to be $16 again in the future, but I think it's a long ways out. Like, I think this card is going to fall a long way as all the Commander players like just have their copy and don't need it anymore, unless there's like some sweet Pioneer deck that's like crushing the format and is playing for that card, which I guess could happen, but I mean, I don't know, $16 is so much for that. Ox of Agonis is still going down a little bit. It's around $7 is kind of where it's been hovering for a while. And this card, my opinion of it has not changed at all. It is definitely good in Dredge. How good Dredge is now is yet to be determined. I think that it's good enough to be a real contender. And if it is, this Ox is going to probably actually go up from $7, considering it's a mythic rare. Not a rare like Mr. $11 Dryad of the Elysian Grove.
Yeah. And I think, just to add to that here too, I think Ox of Agonis has sort of a place in Standard already. I'm seeing a lot of decks with Arclight Phoenix using it pretty well on Arena right now. I've been playing a lot of traditional Standard on there, and just seeing a couple preliminary lists on a MTGO. And I think it could have a home there.
Sick. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely, like, I think Ox of Agonis' price tag right now is almost exclusively from people thinking it's going to be a good card in Dredge, which, you know, they're probably right. But if this card picks up in Standard and is in, you know, one of the best decks in Standard, it's going to at least double in price, I would say. Especially considering how much equity the Mythic Rare slot is going to be giving up when, like, Nyx Bloom Ancient goes down in price and other cards do as well. Thassa, I don't know. From what I've heard, she seems really good. I have not played with this card or seen her played outside of Limited at all yet, so I don't really have any thoughts about her. She's like really obviously good in a vacuum, but I don't know if the metagame is going to shake up correctly to make her like one of the best cards. I think it's a better chance of her being the best than Ashiok.
I've seen this with the M20 creature in tandem with that, where they basically steal your card and then get to keep it because of the wording clause. Agent of Treachery. Thank you, Chris. Basically, in tandem with that, it kind of just shuts you out of the game and takes your creature every turn to where you can't come back. It's a little filthy, and in a mono blue shell, it's fairly strong.
Okay. Did you have any other thoughts about any of the other cards in this set before we kind of move on? Obviously, you know, everyone needs to understand that it's still too early to really draw any conclusions about where these cards are going to end up. You know, we don't have any data or tournament results. This is just, you know, musings from Twitter and where the market is taking us from here. I also do want to mention, like, Sotessan Champion. That's the 3-mana 1/3 with whenever an enchantment ETBs under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on it and draw a card. It seems like there is some kind of Boggle deck materializing in Standard. And then people have also been, like, kind of expecting this to break out in Pioneer at some point. So definitely, like, potential that card could go up a bit, especially if that turns out to be, like, one of the better decks in Standard. Oh, you know, I totally forgot. My favorite card in this whole set, Uro, Titan of Nature's Wrath. That card is nuts. How could I forget?
There you go.
That card is just insane.
Yeah, it's probably pound for pound the strongest card in the Mythic slot, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the raw power of Underworld Breach is nothing to sneeze at, but this card is just like, you don't need Lion's Eye Diamond to break it. You don't need anything. This card is just awesome. It's going to definitely see play in every major constructed format, barring, you know, possibly Legacy Vintage.
Yeah, it's good on its own. Yeah, I know that this is going to definitely make waves in Pioneer. We're seeing it clock in at a $26 price tag right now, and I fully expect that to eclipse in the coming weeks here. I think a lot of the preliminary lists are finding out, like, how good this card actually is. I think it's going to see higher adoption.
I would not at all be surprised to see this card rocking, like, a $30 to $40 price tag in the near future. Just shoving this into, like, Dredge in Pioneer, like, Dredgeless Dredge, the Prized Amalgam deck and whatnot, that's so good. It's so, so good. It's just ridiculous how you just, like, cast this for 4 mana. And, like, it counts as, like, casting something out of your graveyard, triggers, like, Prize Amalgam and whatnot.
Oof. Yeah, it puts a lot of power onto the table very quickly.
Yeah, that card's just nuts. And it's, like, apparently really, really sick in Amulet Titan, too. And Modern.
Yeah, just because that deck needs more cards that are good for it from this set, right?
Yeah, no, the ramp decks, you know, that were already going to be the best decks in the format because Field of the Dead somehow didn't get banned, those definitely needed 2 premium, like, rare and mythic rare.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a sneak peek at the future of Modern.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I was having a conversation with somebody else the other day talking about what if I'm going into this new modern post banning, what do I want to get? And I think the answer is some Primeval Titan deck, simply because of all the stuff we just got.
Absolutely. Yeah, people are going to be gunning for it, but it's honestly very difficult to hit out the entirety of Primeval Titan. There's just so many different ways to build it. And they're all good right now. Amulet Titan, or you could just play like some sort of Primeval Soup, or like Titan Shift. Titan Shift and Amulet Titan especially are just very, very good decks that require pretty different hate to beat. Although, I mean, obviously Blood Moon, you know, is pretty good towards getting the job done.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No, it is not. Definitely never happy to play against that card when I'm piloting Primeval Titan.
What do you think? Is that a decent segue into talking about modern bannings?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we should talk about the modern bannings, considering we have yet to. I'm going to just say it. Mox Opal, Oko Thief of Crowns, and Microsynth Lattice, or Microsoft Lettuce, are all banned.
Yes.
So that took me by surprise, certainly. I have a little rant that I'd love to share with you, if that's all right.
Oh, so, please.
I think that Mox Opal, I have always been one of the haters of Mox Opal, but I am not happy to see it get banned, because I feel like Mox Opal is representative of an issue that Modern has always had in a pre-2019 time, where it has a few cards that are just a little bit better than everything else in the format, and not playing those cards is a little bit heinous, and the cards all kind of make the format worse. And we've gotten rid of two of those now. That's Mox Opal and Faithless Looting. But then we still have like Ancient Stirrings and Simeon Spirit Guide and some other like Tron Lands, some pretty heinous cards running around still. And then they printed like Once Upon a Time in Oko, and I guess at least, you know, they got rid of Oko, but they just printed more of these like equally power leveled, like heinous cantrip cards, to the point where like I'm not convinced that Faithless Looting or Mox Opal or even Preordain are that much better than what's going on in Modern right now. So to see only Mox Opal get banned for kind of what seems to me is just like Wizards trying really hard to not have Urza just be the best deck still after Oko gets banned, because they don't want people crying out to ban another Mythic Rare out of Modern Horizons. Oh, no, sorry, Hogak was not a Mythic Rare, but you know, more cards out of Modern Horizons, their latest induction into the format. I really just can't help but feel like Mox Opal's dying for Urza's sins here. And I mean, maybe, you know, they'll kind of use this to start actually cleaning up the format a bit. But at this point, I don't trust in their ability to do so.
I guess this is just really reactionary too, but it feels like that everything they've done here is just to push off, like you said, Urza being the best deck, but also to just incite change in Modern in a sort of big way, because this is honestly a huge banning. The only thing that I think I agree with is just completely fair is Microsynth Lattice. I'm a little biased because I like playing blue-white control decks when I definitely shouldn't, but it's like really hard to beat this card, and I absolutely hate it, and it leads to this game state where, yeah, you just lost, but you have to slowly watch yourself die sometimes. Really hate that.
I can honestly see both arguments to this, like Microsynth Lattice. I think that both of them are pretty equally reasonable. And I feel like when that's the case, you should just not ban the card most of the time. But I agree. It's like, it's pretty miserable in general. I definitely see the people who are saying things like four mana sorcery plus like six mana sorcery to win the game, like just does not really feel that broken. And like, Joss and I have always been saying this, but it's kind of been our secret, is that Eldrazi Titan or Eldrazi Tron is secretly really bad. Even when it's like, ever, you know, wins a tournament or like top eights a tournament here and there, like all the Eldrazi Tron players convince themselves that the deck's like really good and they start playing it. And then they come to me and they're like, Sam, why am I not winning with this deck every single time? Like, I don't get turn two Thought Not Seer exactly. And then like turn three Reality Smasher, I don't win. And it's because the deck just plays like three mana 4/4s in a format where you could be just killing your opponent on turn two. Still, you could still do that right now. So three mana 4/4s and four mana 4/5/5s have just not really ever gotten there. So I'm not really sure if getting rid of a tool for this like deck that I think was extremely middling and trapping good players into playing it wasn't exactly necessary. But also, you're right, the card's miserable, so I'm not like super upset that they banned it or anything.
thank you. Well, I mean, and just to add to that too, like, yeah, it's miserable to play against, but it just does that thing where like it just shuts you out, which, like, you know, you can get the liquid metal coating, instead, and kind of do the same sort of trick slower when you have the Karn out, the Great Creator. But I do like that they banned this.
Hate to kick you while you're down, Crowberry, but it is actually not liquid metal coating. It is liqui metal coating. There is no D.
Liquid metal coating. Oh my gosh! I know,
it's terrible.
I am just drowning in it right now. All right. But yeah, and as far as the other two cards go, I think that their power level has just always been heinous since their inception of the format. Like, I've been playing against up until now Affinity of some flavor. And I've always thought, like, oh, Mox Opal is the only thing that keeps this deck together, and it's absolutely busted, and it's so swingy when they don't draw it. You know, you can make the same argument for, like, Cranial Plating or Arcbound Ravager out of that deck, but Opal is by far, like, the best card that they had, and it was the best card in Urza, and now I'm really happy that it's gone, but I'm interested to see what happens after.
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely, like, one of the main reasons I'm so upset about Opal moving on is that I'm going to miss Ravager Math. Ravager Math was, like, one of the most interesting and complicated parts of Modern, and when Affinity was actually, like, a reasonable deck and I got to play against it, that was really cool and a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it, and it made me think in ways that I would not normally think about Magic, and now if I want Ravager Math, I have to go to Vintage, and right now I can't afford Vintage. I will again someday. I'll be back to get that sweet, sweet Ravager Math, but in the meantime, it's just not to be. Like, Hardened Scales Affinity is definitely still going to be viable without Mox Opal, because they didn't honestly really need that card anyway. You don't play any 3-drops or anything. It was pretty much never ramping you, because you're not, like, that deck's just full of really good 2-drops, and you're not going to be casting those on turn one plus, like, a Hardened Scales or anything in that deck 90% of the time anyway, so... I mean, Hardened Scales wasn't really good before the banning anyway, either, so I'm not saying it's going to be, like, a good deck now. It's just that if the metagame ever positions itself correctly, Hardened Scales can become a deck, but that deck was not really requiring interesting Ravager Math. That's more the Ravager Math where you just say, like, oh, I've got a Hardened Scales out. 4 plus 8 plus 12 equals your dead. Which, you know, not very interesting.
It's a real simple version of it. Watching people count and then respond to removal by putting counters on something like Ink Moth Nexus. Those were interesting games, and they led to a lot of cool board states, mm-hmm. like you were describing. But yeah, Hardened Scales kind of takes a lot of that away.
And, you know, it's not the end of the world. I will miss it. Personally, I will miss it. Goodbye, Mox Opal.
Rip.
Rip in peace. Hello, Ox and Ro, he's real good. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in Modern still. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, Crabbind's still a cool deck. Giftstorm and Grixis Shadow are definitely good again. Humans, I'm sure, is viable once again now, and it's been a long time. And that is a sweet deck. And we still have more like coming on the fringe. Like this Golgari Yawgmoth deck looks like it's going to survive pretty well. And some of the fast, like the Mono Red Blitz deck, is definitely still going to be probably towards the top of the metagame. Depends on how the metagame, you know, adapts to it. It's people are going to have a lot more room to play hate cards for decks like that coming up. So don't know if that card's going to, or if that deck's going to stay at the top, but definitely still a viable deck. Modern is wide open right now, and it could definitely be a really good format. So we will see. It's too early to tell.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit before the cast started, but you were mentioning that Modern season's kind of over, and that. Mm-hmm. That will give us some time to respond to some of these things, especially as, you know, earth-shattering as it is that they banned, you know, Mox Opal and Oko, maybe less so Mycosynth Lattice.
We're definitely going to have some time for the format to actually, like, settle down. There's going to be, you know, 100 leagues done before the next major Modern tournament, I'm sure. So we'll have a whole lot of data and information to go off of, and the market's going to move a bit slower for this format additionally. Markets that aren't going to be moving slow anytime soon are Standard and Pioneer. the season is going to be in full swing with the release of Theros, which is, what, this coming weekend, I want to say?
Yeah, it's coming up. We just had pre-release.
Pre-release was, okay. It's time just flies after work.
Yeah, right?
So yeah, pre-release, do you want to talk about your pre-release experience at all, Kerber? I know you had a good time. You did a lot better than I did.
Well, okay. So I was kind of live reporting to you guys in Discord, Sam and Chris, that is, about how I opened a showcase foil Nylia and a pre-release foil Nylia, which meant that I drew those every single game. And I went 3-0. So I had a great time. I don't know if I believe in this card for like standard or anything, but it was damn fun to play in limited.
My pool was considerably less playable. I did not have 23 playables across any two colors, so instead I played a few bad cards. And I decided that the theme of my deck was going to be like this kind of turbo escape deck. Oh no, actually I did play three colors. I had a light red splash for Underworld Breach in my escape tribal deck. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I literally looked at that card and I was like, okay, I could just not splash red and my deck is probably objectively better, but I'm gonna like not do well in this pre-release anyway. I might as well just play Yogg-Will, right? So
there you go.
The highlight of my pre-release was definitely casting Yawgmoth's Will multiple times. Every time I cast it, I got to like flashback two cards in the same turn, which was awesome value. Just like two mana to get the best two cards out of your graveyard and cast them. That's a good magic card. So it was a lot better and limited than I thought it was going to be. But overall, my deck was still not very good. I had Pelucranos in my pool, which I thought was going to carry me to victory at least sometimes. And it never did. My opponents had an answer for it at literally every single time that I cast it. I never even attacked with my poor Pelucranos. Entire night.
Yeah. That'll do it.
A lot of good answers to that card in the format, unfortunately. I played against Jocelyn in round two, and I'm sitting on this Pelucranos, and I've got the read that she's got the common that says exile target creature. And so I am this, you know, escape tribal deck, so I'm like, okay, you know, I don't have to play this Pelucranos out. I'll play it cool, play a few escape beaters out, really just like, you know, make sure this is the last card in my hand. I don't think that she's going to make me like exile it with the two mana Thoughtseize that exiles. So I'm going to put her in a bad position on board, force her to use that removal spell, and then Pelucranos will come down and take over the game. So plan, you know, the first part of that plan went well. She had to use the exile removal spell on one of my escape fatties. And then I cast Pelucranos, and then she had the rare exile a creature one. On top of the common one. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll back it up.
Just one-upped your read, yeah, basically.
She's like, oh, no, I had it all this whole time. And she had Uro in her pool. The
and I had this, and this, yeah. And this.
So Jocelyn had a good time. Her pool was pretty hot. But yeah, the format felt really fun. I'm excited to play more Theros Limited. Not that I have any time for it. I'm playing a Pioneer 1K this weekend, and then doing a lot more Pioneer moving forward. I don't know what deck I'm playing. I'm pretty intrigued by the Niv to Light deck. Have you seen that running around?
I've heard a lot about Niv-Mizzet from Chris Martin. So I don't know if I can stomach hearing about it anymore, but yeah, I've seen it running around.
Yeah, no, don't worry about it. I don't want to talk about it, actually. It's a big, big sloppy five-color mess. So if you like that, go Google it. It's a delight. Blue Light Control also seems really good, like kind of up my alley. I'm not really that interested in the mono black and the mono red decks. That's never really been my style. So I'm most likely just going to try those two and play whichever one of them feels best.
I know. I think that deck just seems pretty strong. As a blue white enthusiast, I don't think that's the deck I'd want to be on in Pioneer right now. It seems very medium against everything, even with the new stuff we just got.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty worried that I'm going to be playing one of those control decks where, like, at best, you're just, like, one for wanting all of your opponent's answers, and then, like, eventually, like, someone gets decked or something. Whenever I see, like, a bunch of Wraths and, like, Dictor Time and Sphinx's Rev and stuff, I start to get a little scared. So, not so sure that's the way I want my control deck to go, but I do enjoy playing Blight Control when it's not like that. I enjoy it when, like, I get to just like play a planeswalker and take over the game, and the game actually ends.
Yeah, no Jace the Mind Sculptor.
So it definitely depends on how.
No Jace the Mind Sculptor and Pioneer. So
there are a lot of good planeswalkers though. You know, 3 mana Teferi, 5 mana Teferi. So I don't know. I haven't tested it yet, so I'm gonna probably play a league tonight. We'll see how that goes. Play some more throughout the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you know where Pioneer's going, you know, if you're playing Pioneer and you feel really confident in it, there's definitely still just a ton of money to be made in Pioneer. Like I bought like most of the format when it was announced, and just like every week, like new cards in that I bought like spike, which means that like probably half the cards that I bought have not spiked yet. You know, there's just all sorts of like, and it's not like any big secret or anything. It's just really obvious staples that just, you know, because people haven't really been playing this format in paper that much, they just haven't really gone anywhere yet. Scrap Heap Scrounger is like still a bulk rare or whatever. It's like, this is an excellent card.
Yeah, and that's kind of crazy to me because of how good that card was in its standard.
Did it get overprinted? I feel like it was in like one of those, it was in like a Walmart promo or something. Like, I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's in one of the Challenger decks, the Mardu Vehicles one. When they did that first run of those. But yeah, it's definitely still a powerful card, but yeah, there are a lot of them running around out there, and it is at rare and out of Kaladesh.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it definitely like is not just gonna randomly go to $10 or anything, but this, like so many other cards in Pioneer, are just like gonna be like, you know, $2 a month from now or something. And it's just like there's still a lot of money to be saved by just buying your deck as it is right now.
And now's actually a really good time for that. We're currently sitting at January 20th here. It looks like January 30th, we have Brussels, Magic Fest Brussels, as the first kind of premier Pioneer event coming up. And then we have Nagoya and then Phoenix right after that in succession. So I think we're going to see a lot of movement here in the coming weeks just based off that.
Yes, and this is the first season where we're going to have individual Pioneer Star City Games Opens. I know that in the end of February, I'm going to Indianapolis for a Pioneer Open. So that is also going to have, you know, a big effect in the market. And I think probably by June, everyone is going to be saying like, oh man, you know, I missed the boat on Pioneer. I can't afford the format now. Like, it's just too expensive. And we're going to hear all these people saying like, you know, they're going to be big brains on Twitter and be like, oh, I told you guys it was all going to go up. This is, you know, I'm just going to think it because I have some class. I'm not going to say it. But
oh, you're going to say it. I know you will.
Remind me 6 months. Does Sam brag about Pioneer prices?
I told you.
We'll see. Yeah, I might say I told you, so I'll try not to.
And we're looking at a lot of these cards coming up, too. I'm still pretty high on the opinion that like Thoughtseize is the sort of index for this format. I think we'll be looking to that card a lot in the coming weeks. There's not like a huge room for growth on them right now, but that's kind of one of the cards I'll be looking at to still see the health of this format.
Here's an interesting point of contention I have for you. I think that Thoughtseize, and I have said this before, and I still feel this way. I think that Thoughtseize is just a little bit like noticeably better than every other card in the format. And for that reason, I think it's still probably on Wizards of the Coast watch list. I know they're not like doing bans every week or anything for Pioneer, and they feel like it's in a good place for now, which definitely shows that they don't want to ban Thoughtseize. They clearly want it to be in this format. But I am pretty suspicious of that card. So I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to get banned or anything.
And we do have, you know, sort of alternatives. There's, I mean, obviously not as good, but there's Duress. We have the blue-black one with a Surveil. What is it called? I'm so bad at standard cards. Yeah, Thought Erasure.
Yeah, Thought Erasure, right. Yeah, or maybe the answer is, you know, they print, like, Inquisition of Kozlek into standard and then ban Thoughtseize out of Pioneer. Or maybe they have a new direct modern set where they do that with Inquisition of Kozlek, which is a much more reasonable Magic card. It's kind of wild that we have an Eternal format where Thoughtseize is legal and Inquisition's not.
Yeah, it seems strange, but it's definitely here for now. And I think we'll be seeing some stuff out of it.
Definitely the benchmark for the format at the very least. So one other thing I wanted to talk about, you know, before we start to run out of time, I think we have enough time to probably hit another couple topics, but what I'm really excited to talk about is I love what they're doing with the PTQ promos next year. This year, it was Arcbound Ravager all year, which just obliterated the price of Arcbound Ravager. And obviously, it's now never going to recover because Mox Opal got banned from Modern. But this year, they, you know, they earlier announced that they're going to do Cryptic Command as the promo for the year. And have now announced that they're doing some additional promos for PTQs throughout the year, which is pretty interesting. So the first series of qualifiers, which only runs for another 2 months, gives out Cryptic Command. People have been earning these Cryptic Commands like SCG Opens and stuff for a while now. So there's a decent amount of them on the market, but I don't think a lot of people expected them to be gone as soon as March. So Cryptic Command prices are probably not going to go down quite as much as people may have originally thought they were going to. The promo to replace that, which will only be available for, what, 3 months? April?
Yeah, April to July.
Yeah, but it's kind of all the way through them. So it's about 4 months. It's Surgical Extraction, which is pretty expensive magic card. Don't really know what that's going to do to the price. 4 months of PTQ promos, it's kind of hard to make specific predictions about where that's going to go. I mean, obviously the answer is down, right? There's going to be Surgical Extractions in the hands of people who didn't need them before, just getting printed onto the market. But how far down? I think it's a little early to say. Definitely depends on where this card fits into the metagame moving forward. Surgical Extraction has been played a lot less now than it was like 6 months ago. So I have to imagine like Surgical goes down a considerable amount. Maybe this settles in around like, I don't even know what it's at right now, but I assume it could settle in around like $20.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you'll look to New Phyrexia original foils to sort of keep track of that, especially because this has the same art.
They're already like $15.
Yeah, they're going down quite a bit. But yeah, this was once a, you know, a staple card. It was main deckable at one point during Faithless Looting's heyday, and we just don't live in that modern space anymore. So the demand for this card is considerably lower. But yeah. Also what's great about this is it puts it into the people's hands who do need them. And it'll probably flatten it out to probably about 10 before this is all said and done, maybe lower.
Yeah, I'm thinking lower. Now that I've seen $15 as the current market price, and these aren't even going to be in players' hands for another 3 months. I'm thinking like $7 or $8 in Surgical Extraction for... you know, while these are in print, and then maybe they'll creep back up into the $11, $12 range slowly over time, assuming that this card continues to see even some modicum of play in Modern, which I think is a pretty reasonable assumption. Especially, you know, if Arcite Phoenix ever does wiggle its way back into the format in a bigger way than just like occasionally being played in like a mono red deck, Surgical Extraction could come again to the forefront of Modern. You know, it's not just an answer for Faithless Looting. That's just the best way to answer Arclight Phoenix itself. And that card is still legal in Modern.
Yeah, or any sort of graveyard-based strategy that relies on returning a specific card. You know, this is obviously what you want. But yeah, it's I very much doubt that we'll see a metagame like that again for quite some time.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely am not a better on Surgical Extraction at this point. But that leads us into a way cooler, way sweeter card for July 31st to November 22nd, and that is Aether Vial. The art on this is sweet.
Yes, and I think this is probably the most expensive on this this list of cards right here, previous to the announcement in non-foil, if I had to guess.
Yep, definitely correct. Aether Vial is an awesome magic card that continues to see tons of play in Modern, and it will continue to see as much play in Modern as it does now, as long as creature decks are a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were saying earlier that humans will probably see some sort of uptick in when we get closer to Modern season in playability.
Absolutely. Humans is definitely going to come back to the forefront of the metagame. It might even come back to being, you know, the best Modern deck. It's a little too early to call, but definitely a possibility. And Aether Vial is not looking to go down in price anytime soon before this printing, you know, for reasons outside of card availability, just talking about the Modern metagame. Even like maybe, you know, you just never know with Modern, right? Like maybe Spirits comes back and starts doing well at tournaments again for whatever reason. There's just all sorts of really good creature decks that utilize Aether Vial. And it's also such an awesome card in like Commander and Casual that it's never really going to go down that much. So I'm not expecting the price of either vial to be very much affected at all by this promo printing. Like, definitely nowhere near like the $15 lows that these other cards are seeing. Before I seem like an idiot, where is Aether Vial right now?
Yeah, just check yourself before you wreck yourself. It's pretty important.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might disagree with you here, because even if humans, you know, goes up, we might see this card trend downward and then the cards around it go up. It'll create some demand, obviously, like, oh, I have these Aether Vials. What complements this card? It'll be pretty easy to get a hold of four of these for the average modern player coming up here.
Yeah, I'm definitely already feeling a little dumb. Like, they're already at like 18s, which is a bit lower than I had guessed that they would be at.
There's definitely a farther to fall with this one.
You say that. I don't know. I'm a big believer in Aether Vial still. I mean, I definitely agree that it can trim off a few more bucks because, you know, like, obviously more coming into print is just going to make that happen. But like, you know, as you're saying, like having the other cards get pushed up around it, I think that Aether Vial, like a lot of the time is that expensive card. Like usually due to supplier reasons, like a lot of the cards in Merfolk have been printed 100 times and there's just, you know, so many more like Master of Waves out there than there are going to be Aether Vials, like even after this printing, for example. The same is true to an extent for humans. Humans does have a couple of pricey cards in there. It's got like Cavernous Souls and Noble Hierarch. So possible that we could see some of the growth, you know, stemming there instead. I think Noble Hierarch's been trending down for a while too. Honestly, most of the modern index has been. But I don't know. I'm a believer in Aether Vial. I think this card is awesome. People are going to want it. People will even want like play sets of this for the sweet art. And depending on the way that the modern metagame goes, I would not be at all surprised to see this card back at 20 by the year's end.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't be surprised, but I think we're going to see a pretty low drop on this card. Just looking at the Magic Fest schedule here, we're going to have Modern in March at Sao Paulo, and then we're looking to have that for a while through the summer. And also around the launch of this card here coming through this program is in July. I think July, August kind of area, we're going to see that floor. A lot of these will be out in the wild. And even if humans is the best deck, I don't think it's unreasonable to say this will be a $10 card.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a really good point, honestly, especially because, you know, if we kind of get away from the modern season around that point, and then we also have the traditional lull that happens around like wintertime, and this stops production around November 22nd, so it kind of lines up right there. Could definitely be the perfect storm to just dump this card back out into the $10 range, like towards the end of this year. I am unwavering. I'm still a fan of Aether Vial, but I agree that it's probably going to, assuming that it's like towards the top tier of the metagame, it's probably going to peak sometime in the like May-ish range, most likely around May. And then start to climb down once, you know, people start playing less modern and once more of these enter players' hands.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I was saying, it's, you know, we have 2 months to sort of prepare for that future. So there's a lot of decisions to make in the meantime.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely too early to make any. It's definitely too early to make any big calls about where modern is going to go. I mean, it's going to move so slowly that we're going to have, you know, we're going to see changes happening to modern from a mile away. So it's definitely possible that next week we're having the same discussion where we're talking about modern and it's like obvious that humans is the best deck now, but nothing has moved in price yet. Or, you know, some other totally different deck could be the best deck in modern. Who knows?
Yeah. Sort of a nebulous thing here. But yeah, I think that kind of does it for that. Not much more to go over. Just where's modern going? That's kind of the question.
That is the question. Where is modern going? And no one cares about the answer because there's no tournaments coming up.
Thing that we wanted to talk about last was sort of the changes to the promo packs that were coming out for the standard reprints. Wizards put out a revised list of some of those cards, and there are some new Theros cards in there that'll be pretty significant. I'm thinking namely the Temples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there can be some non-standard cards in your Theros Beyond Death promo packs. which people have gauged is like, there's a couple of good hits in here, but it's mostly just stuff to keep the price of like these commander cards flat. I think the more expensive ones were like Heroic Intervention was like creeping up on $20, and this will definitely help assuage that to some extent. There's some other cool casual cards in here, but this is like very clearly a distinct commander printing for all of these cards.
Yeah. I guess I can't disagree. There are a lot of commander hits in here. But it is very, you know, comforting that they're taking the time to say, hey, we need to put the Scrylands in here, keep Shocklands. We have cards like Teferi, Time Raveler, kind of keeping that down.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking about the non-standard legal cards. The standard legal cards are all, you know, fantastic cards that competitive players will be excited to open. Obviously, like, not every single card in there is going to be, you know, a slam dunk, but there's, you know, all the great Magic cards you'd expect, like Assassin's Trophy, all the Shocklands, as you were saying, Emery, you know, it's just these cards that competitive players have come to expect out of the promo packs. So that's definitely going to keep them, you know, pretty interesting. Also, I really like that they're bringing the commander cards into that, like, slot for the non-standard stuff. Because, God, if it was competitive cards, these would be a total pain to collect, and they wouldn't really have any effect on the price at all. But with commander cards, like, even just a small injection into the supply can reduce the demand by a considerable margin because people only need, you know, one copy. And it's not like competitive play where, you know, 30% of people might be playing the same deck because it's the best deck. So, you know, there's a lot more variation in your card choices in commander. So card prices can be assuaged a lot more easily by doing something like this. I think they'll be a pretty good job of keeping all of these cards from, like, getting too out of control in terms of price. And also, I like that they're not, like, putting, you know, a card like Heroic Intervention, which, you know, as I said, was approaching $20, into, like, commander decks that they sell. Because that just encourages people to, you know, like, speculators and whatnot, or people who are just looking to flip them, to go, like, buy them at from, like, Target and whatnot. And then the local players, like, don't have access to them, which is something that they've regretted doing ever since, like, the True Name Nemesis, like, that was...
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're never going to let that happen again.
For sure. So, I mean, Heroic Intervention is not, like, a competitive player card, so it wouldn't be quite as bad if they did that. But I just like that they are looking at additional ways to print some, like, decently expensive commander cards without, like, putting a run on their new sealed product.
Yeah, and I think that's really important for the health of the game too, especially coming out of a, you know, pretty significant banning in standard, modern, pioneer. The health of the game needs stuff like this, because honestly, there's been some bad PR lately.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, Magic will get through it. Magic is an excellent game, and it always gets through it.
All right, and I think we're getting close to wrapping up here. If you guys had any questions in the chat, we'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Just looking back and seeing G-Tutor mention that Guillaume Wafotapa won a Pioneer PPTQ with blue-white control. I'm 100% not surprised to read this sentence. But I still think that it is a very medium deck. It certainly doesn't have too many awful matchups from the decks that are popular in Pioneer, other than maybe red, but I don't think it's super slam dunkish against anything, really.
I also just say that Wafotapa is an insane Magic player. Like, insane, insane Magic player. I mean, Wafotapa could win with blue-white control in, like, alpha block constructed. Like, Wafotapa will win with flying men.
Yeah, probably. Blue-white control
deck. That man is a monster. You know that Ugin is, like, solidly, like, $55 right now?
Yeah, I believe it. That card has seen some pretty crazy heights. And it probably needs a reprint. Might be on someone's watch list.
I feel like it's got to come back somehow. I mean, like, obviously not to standard, because that card was insane, but there's got to be in something coming up soon, because it's, like, selling easily at $55. It's, like, really, like, a $60 card right now, which is, like, definitely...
What prompted that? Are you just looking at interests?
I'm looking at some of the stuff I've been keeping an eye on for a while. I was also looking at, like, the Scarab God and Monastery Mentor. I think the Scarab God is, like, finally trending downward, but, like, Ugin is still, like, going up a little bit, which is crazy.
Yeah, it, I mean, it's probably the most powerful Planeswalker in Pioneer. Maybe Nissa Shakes the World is close.
I wonder what the most expensive cards in Pioneer right now are.
I would assume that Ugin's up there at 55, if I had to guess.
Yep, I was correct. Ugin is the most expensive card in Pioneer. Second most expensive is Liliana, The Last Hope, which is that number right? It says $50.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of X1s get killed by that Liliana if you're talking about the Eldritch Moon one.
She looks like she went up a lot after Eldraine came out, just from, like, hype. Yeah, for sure, Last Hope. Yeah, she's like 43 to 45. That's still really high for that card. I think that, like, she mostly... Well, no, she's really good. I could definitely see her, like, seeing play to fulfill that. It's really interesting, like, what the best cards or the most expensive cards in Pioneer all are right now. Like, it's a lot of stuff that everyone kind of figured was going to be the best and most expensive, but you have, like, big colorless threats like the Eldrazi Titans and Ugin, and then, like, the best Planeswalkers, you know, Jace, Prince Prodigy, Teferi, Grove, Dominaria, and the other ones we talked about. And then, like, those are, like, way above everything else, and then comes the other, like, really good stuff, you know, about, like, the Thoughtseizes and the Scarab Gods, like, all these top format staples, and just randomly Brazen Borrower. God, I need to remember to go back and sell all mine.
Yeah, that's another quite expensive card.
Not that I expected to, like, really go down or anything right now. But.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing here. That I guess that's been the theme of the cast. We're in a very middling period where a lot of things are very uncertain, and we just have to see how things shake out. But there is some time to prepare.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely, it's actually a little bit unique, because normally when we have conversations like this where we're saying, like, oh, you know, you just need to kind of wait and see, it's because, like, a new set just came out, or there was a big banning shaking up a format. But here we have both. Like, Modern has been drastically shaken up by this banning, and then, of course, you know, Standard and Pioneer are going to get shaken up by this new set coming out. So there's a lot more uncertainty than usual, especially with all the wonkiness that there's been in 2019. So who's to say? Definitely, you know, keep your fingers in the metagame, keep your eyes open for, like, deck lists and what people are saying, you know, appears to be the best, and then just, you know, have a quick trigger finger when these first tournament results start to pour in. It's going to be really fast moving on the stuff in, particularly in Theros, but also just Pioneer and Standard in general.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Pioneer is probably where you want to be looking for the biggest movement here. Obviously, Modern has room for that kind of stuff, Standard, but I think Pioneer is slowly becoming that sort of people's format, and a lot of people are very interested to ride the wave.
Sure. And it's crazy to think about how we haven't even had any, like, big Pioneer paper tournaments yet, aside from, like, technically the Strategy Games Invitational, which wasn't even, people didn't even know was going to be Pioneer until, like, a couple weeks before. So we have all this hype for this format yet, and it's not even really being played that much. Like, oh, it just makes my big stack of Magic cards so happy to think about all the people who are going to be playing this format soon.
Yeah. You're bracing yourself to start shipping all those orders with Joss, right?
Yep, exactly. Getting ready to fire off the time off request for my 9-to-5.
Yeah, got to quit job to do other job.
Really, we've been making tons of buys recently. We've been buying, like, way more than our shop normally is, because there's just so much, like, movement going around from, like, Pioneer cards being bought and sold. And like, what we've been kind of doing is, because we know we've been expecting this, is we've been doing a ton of buying. And this is, like, the damn box strat, right? Where you just, like, buy for a prolonged period of time and just, like, don't list anything or make any money. And then you just, like, list it all. You just spend, like, you know, weeks or months, like, just listing. You like, stop buying completely. It's, like, kind of an online retailer thing. Like, not a lot of brick and mortars do that, obviously. But it's something that I don't normally do, and we're trying it now, and it seems to be, like, a pretty good idea, especially since we, like, want to get so much of this before it jumps in price. But also, you know, we're a store. Like, I'm not going to be, like, speculating with, like, the store's cards or whatever. We're going to list them when we can. But we kind of get to pretend to speculate by, like, waiting, you know, about a month before we list all of this. We're speculating on the health of Magic in general, right?
I mean, you're always doing that. But yeah, what kind of what you're saying is like it kind of flies in the face of conventional wisdom where, you know, you want to have always be buying, always be selling. So kind of ramping up to, you know, release a bunch of product at once. It's a different strategy.
Yeah, no, it's what Dan Bach does because they don't have like a ton of manpower. So, or as far as I know anyway. So, you know, what they do is that like it's best to concentrate all your power on buying for a prolonged period of time. And then listing for a prolonged period of time, because if you do it like if you're like swapping between the two constantly, it really reduces your productivity. Like it's right now.
If you don't have the staff to support it, I could see that being very difficult.
Yeah, it gets really difficult to, you know, like be perusing Facebook groups for buys and stuff, and then also like I'm just staring at this table in my kitchen that has gigantic mountains of like sorted magic cards on it, but they haven't been alphabetized or anything yet. It's just like set sorted. So I know Joss is going to be spending like literally months just like glued to our couch in our living room alphabetizing pretty soon.
Bust out that sorting tray.
Yep, exactly. But yeah, I don't want to bore your head off with business talk or anything. I just, you know, was just saying that our, you know, our store is looking at that. And a decent part of it is because of the Pioneer movement that we're expecting in the near future.
Well, yeah, I think that does it for the cast tonight. Kind of went over stuff that's happening right now. This was our first cast of the year, and we thank you all for joining us live. I think that does it for us for this evening. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks again for joining us, guys. Welcome to 2020 Quiet Speculation Cast. We hope to have another decade of fun casting with you all, and I am signing off. I'll talk to all of you on the internet later.
Signing off. Have a good one.